Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Colin Robertson, the Vice President and a Fellow of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute. Thanks for joining us, Colin.
Good to be with you, Bruce.
As we are aware, Canadian agriculture continues to monitor and hope for final ratification of the United States-Mexico-Canada Free Trade Agreement. Where does the process stand at this stage, and what are the key factors now influencing the timetable?
Well, Bruce, in his State of the Union, the President announced that he would be introducing legislation that would implement the new United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, but he didn't set a date. The International Trade Commission was originally to report back on its assessment of the implications of the agreement for the U.S. economy by the middle of March, but with the government shutdown for almost a month in December into January, that the 34 days have been added to the time that they need to do their consideration. So I don't think we can expect to see the International Trade Commission report until mid-March, and that's a necessary step before Congress will look at the implementing legislation. And that closure of government also meant that the legislative drafters were probably not at work. So I think we're probably looking to late March, April, perhaps May, before the president would introduce the implementing legislation. And then from a Canadian perspective, the first thing we have to do is to assure that the legislation accurately reflects the agreement that we signed, because with Donald Trump, you have to be absolutely sure that he's following what we both think we agreed to. It will be introduced to the House Ways and Means Committee in the House of Representatives. And the change there is that the Democrats are now the majority party in the House of Representatives. And so Chairman Richard Neal from Massachusetts will look at that agreement with the chair of the Trade Committee, who is from Washington State. And Nancy Pelosi and Chairman Neal have said that they're not necessarily satisfied with the agreement as it is drafted. They want to have stronger enforcement provisions around the environment and labor. And what that actually means in practice, we'll have to wait and see. There is the possibility that Speaker Pelosi could do what she did in 2008 with another trade agreement. I think this was the one of the trade agreements the United States has with the Latin American countries, and they lifted the authority that the president had been granted called Trade Promotion Authority. And under that authority, when the legislation is introduced in the Congress, it's subject to an up or down vote. That is, you can't amend it in either the House or the Senate. You simply vote yay or nay. But there is the potential for Nancy Pelosi, as Speaker of the House, to lift the application of the Trade Promotion Authority, therefore allowing amendments to the implementing legislation, which could potentially have the effect of changing the agreement itself. Now, from a Canadian and Mexican perspective, that's exactly where we don't want to be, because it, in a sense, means you're in double jeopardy. Not only have you negotiated with the administration, but then you'd have to turn around and negotiate with Congress. But as always, the devil is in the detail, and we'll have to see exactly what it is the Democrats would want to amend. If they want to strengthen the labor provisions and the environmental provisions, it may well be something that Canada could live with, because throughout the negotiations, Canada was pushing the United States to be more vigilant when it came to the application of environmental and labor provisions. We have done that consistently in trade negotiations with other countries, as well as the United States and Mexico. We did this in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We also did it in the Canada-Europe Trade Agreement. So what we're waiting for now is first the International Trade Commission report, and then the introduction of the implementing legislation by the president. And it begins in the House of Representatives in the Ways and Means Committee, with the Trade Subcommittee looking at the legislation. And then we'll get a better sense to where the Democrats might be coming from. There, it doesn't seem that there be a problem in the Senate where the Republicans still have a majority, but will first it goes to the House of Representatives. In the case of Mexico, the government of President López Obrador has a majority in both the upper and lower chamber of the Mexican legislature, but I think he is likely to wait until the legislation is introduced before moving in the Mexican legislature. And I think on Canada's part, I don't think we're likely to move with our implementing legislation until we've seen the American legislation introduced as well. Now, that will perhaps mean that the legislation in Canada doesn't get introduced until after our election. So it would be the next government that would introduce the legislation because, as your listeners know, Bruce, a federal election is scheduled in Canada for, I think, October the 19th this year.
As the process moves through the United States, what specifically will Canada and Mexico be watching, and why, and what are the implications there?
Well, we'll be watching very closely to, first of all, to ensure that the implementing legislation reflects the agreement that we negotiated, and then secondly, we'll be watching very closely and we'll be doing advocacy with the members of the House Trade Subcommittee and the House Ways and Means Committee, and putting more emphasis on prominent Democrats. For over the last year, we focused on Republicans and leadership members in the House and the Senate, but with a new Senate and new House, and while many of the members in the Senate are the same, there's significant shift. It's about 80 new members, I think, in the House of Representatives, 60 and perhaps 60 members that are new in the House of Representatives. So we'll be working with to remind them of how important Canada is to their districts in terms of investment by Canada and in terms of Canada as an export market for goods produced and services produced in that district. Because at the end of the day, all politics is local, as so is all trade. And if the new members feel that the agreement works for their district, they're more likely to vote for it.
How much public support are we seeing in all three countries for final acceptance of the agreement, and what influence is that likely to have on the process?
Well, in Canada, there's, I think, reasonably strong public support for the agreement. Canadians simply wanted to, remember, Canada and Mexico weren't the ones that initiated the renegotiation of the what was the, and what it still is, the North American Free Trade Agreement. It was the United States initiated. We were relatively satisfied. We thought that there was some updating required, but it was the Americans and Donald Trump that was the driver on the renegotiation. So I think Canadians are reasonably satisfied with the new agreement. And I think the Mexican government, while it was negotiated by the previous administration, will swallow and ratify and implement the agreement. The challenge always remains in the United States. There has been an upswing in support for trade amongst both Democrats and Republicans, but Donald Trump and his base tend to be anti-trade, although Donald Trump now thinks that the newly negotiated U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is a much better deal than the worst deal ever negotiated, which was his description of the NAFTA. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens in the Congress. That's the bigger question mark.
And is there anything you would like to add?
No, I think that's good, Bruce.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Our guest has been Colin Robertson, the Vice President and a Fellow of the Canadian Global Affairs Institute. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.